I said, Marvin, what the hell am I going to do? We're too close to the front to be without a rifle.
Yeah.
He said, oh, he said, don't worry about it. You won't need a rifle before morning. You can get another by then. I said, yeah, I know I can, but that's morning. Anyway, he went on back, and I sneaked into this house, and it's empty. Nobody there. I just, you don't know what chills went through me then.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether they'd run out of there or what had happened. It's dark, and I wasn't about to light any match or anything to see if I could find any blood or anything, but
yeah.
I remembered where the truck was. We had a regular place where we kept the trucks. That was one thing we always had to have is a motor pool, but when we stopped, you know. And so I sneaked into our trucks. Sure enough, they were still there. And the assistant squad leader had decided that that house wasn't good enough for us, so he found a better house that he moved into. So, but we had extra rifles in our truck, so I felt all right then. I slept in the truck that night.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, it sure did feel good to have everything right.
Yeah, but you don't ever know what happened to your rifle. Someone just picked it up? Or?
Oh, it didn't make any difference. It just was in another Jeep. Marvin had it, see. Oh. He just had a different Jeep, and we went, he got me in.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did he know you were there?
I don't know how he found out. I never did. I seen him here a while back, and I didn't get to talk to him about that. But
mm-hmm.
Oh, he still teased me about combing my hair. I wouldn't have much to comb now.
Well, would most of the time would you be sleeping out, not in a...
Most of the time we was out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had pup tents that we had to carry with us, but we very seldom set them up.
Mm-hmm. Would you sleep in a foxhole or?
No, not usually. Usually we'd find a ditch or something like that to sleep in. We had our sleeping bag, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we never took off our clothes but once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in the well. Now when it got warmer, we did, but I mean, while it's cold, boy, that's tough going.
Mm-hmm.
But we had very little time for anything like that. They wouldn't give you any time because they knew that it'd be tough on you if you stopped and started thinking.
Right. Yeah, and you agree with that?
I sure do. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't agree with it then by a long ways.
Yeah.
I thought we should have some time off.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get sick, or did the men around you get sick?
I don't remember anybody ever getting sick.
Okay.
Got quite a few guys wounded.
And then what would happen when they were wounded?
There was always medics around.
Mm-hmm.
You had medics in your outfit, one man, White Cross, and he'd recommend the hospital, see, and boy, it wasn't long till there was a vehicle there to take you to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes just a makeshift place like a tent. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they had a hospital to work out of, but most like that lieutenant that got that shrapnel in his arm is a pretty good sized piece of shrapnel, and they sent him straight to the States.
Okay.
They tied that arm up so he couldn't move it and sent him straight to the States.
Mm-hmm. Did you all have basic first aid training?
Yeah. Yeah, we had all our pressure points. And then we carried a first aid kit with us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody got hurt, well, you didn't mind tearing open their first aid kit because you'd always get another.
Mm-hmm. Was there any, I don't want to say religion, but was there a chaplain that sort of...
We had a chaplain that followed us all the time.
Okay.
I don't think he had any religion. One time we was on the front, and I've said, told this story before, and it was a natural, that's when the Germans were coming down at us during the bulls. And they put us up there, and I didn't like the position at all. scattered us out across the opening that come down this mountainside. It wasn't a straight mountain, it was sloping. And that was the very kind of place that the Germans liked to attack. And they put us up there 5 miles from nobody and said, dig in, and if the Germans come, we'll help you. And they went back 5 miles down the line and just relaxed and had a good time. Well, we sat on the mountain, and we had a lot of, we of course was 5 miles up there and no transportation, but we took lots of machine guns and everything with us. There's just 14 men, I believe. Yeah, I believe it was just 14 of us. And we dug a pits almost together. Some of them were together. We had a good line of pits there, and we had a machine gun at each end. And all night long, we'd fire a burst or two with those machine guns, just a short burst. We didn't have that much ammo, so we'd fire a short burst just to let them know we were still there. And every so often, a guy would take a shot at something. He'd see a light or a spark or something. The Germans used a lot of signal lights. And we stayed there and waited for those Germans for a week. Mm. And finally, on Sunday morning, the infantry come back up there and they was ready to go to work. I said, boy, I was never so glad to see anybody in all my life. And he said, why? And I said, well, those damn Germans are right up there. We can see them every once in a while. And I said, just waiting for them to come down. And he said, whoa, if they come down here, we'll just sure take care of them. I said, yeah, that's a heck of a lot different to have a battalion ready to defend it or just a squad. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, little, but we'll sure take care of them.
Yeah.
And I bet they would have, too, but mm-hmm. Boy, to have a squad there. Anyway, on the way home, and when we loaded up in the truck, we walked back down the hill and got in our truck. And I said, if we find a nice church, it's Sunday morning, and I said, if we find a nice church along the way, would anybody object to stopping and going to church? Mm-hmm. And they said, no, they all would. And I had atheists and Catholics and everything else. So here we go back toward camp. It's about 50 miles from there. And all at once there was a church that had a cross on it. I don't know what kind of church it was. It had a cross on the top of it. And no vehicles. That kind of surprised me. No, not a single vehicle around there. But we stopped anyway. And we all went in. They said, who's going to guard the truck? And I said, if they want to steal it from a truck, we'll just walk the rest of it. From the church, we'll just walk the rest away. So they all agreed, and we went in, and I was really surprised. There's more coats hanging on that wall than I ever seen. They had a little place in front where you entered, in the middle, and door at each side. And all those coats hanging there, I just couldn't figure it out. But we stacked the rifles in that place and our gas masks and everything. We stripped clear down, and then I went over and I looked in this one door, and the church was full. There wasn't a seat left on that side. And I thought, well, I wonder where we could stand. So I went around and looked at the other, and there was just enough seats that we could all sit down. I was in the second row from the front. I was the last one. Second row on the front, and it was real quiet. Oh, just real quiet. There wasn't a sound in there. And we just walked in and sat down, and pretty soon there's a boy come in with his incense, you know, and the preacher come right behind him. Of course, he preached in German, but we couldn't understand it, but we still got the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And after church, we all got out and got around the rifles, but we didn't really know what to do, and the people weren't getting out of our way any. They were just standing there, and pretty soon the preacher said, if our own soldiers would have come in, they'd shot up the place and killed some of us, and the enemy comes in and is real, worships with us. He said, now which one is really our enemy?
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that was it. Then they all was inviting us to dinner and everything else, but we had to go home because we had to get there for a noon meal. And were they ever glad to see us? They scared when we left that they'd never see us again. That's one time overseas that we had a warm shower.
Mm-hmm.
They had a shower set up for us and grand meal.
Yeah. Now that's a good story because that had, I mean, there you were and you went to that church and what he said to you really just said it.
Mm-hmm. Just sure was good.
Yeah.
We sure enjoyed it. And I never had a single complaint about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a one of the guys ever said, even the Catholics, had one guy that professed to be an atheist. They say there's no atheists in the army, but he pretended to be at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think he was. I believe he believed in God.
Yeah. Well, that would be the time to figure out if you believed in God or not.
Yeah, I'd say it would.
Yeah.
I gotta go to rest.
Okay.
If you'll excuse me.
Yeah, I'll turn. Were you single when you were?
No, I was married before I went to service.
Okay.
I got married just before I went to service. In fact, December the 26th. And I went to the service January the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she's pregnant.
Right.
And she had a baby, and she came to California and stayed out there with me a while.
Okay.
And she got pregnant again.
Uh-huh.
So we had another little boy. And then when I was in Texas, she come down there for a while and got pregnant again.
Uh-huh.
And so when I went overseas, I got a letter from her on one of the emails, and it said that her son had died.
Oh.
And I had no idea which one. We knew that the new one was going to be a son. I had no idea. She didn't say. She just apologized for it. He was born without an esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, he got somebody fed him. And they told him that if anybody fed him, it'd kill him immediately. So he just lived 3 days, I believe.
Hmm.
And died. And 2 weeks later, the Red Cross got around and telling me that they had lost a son. And they told me which one and everything, what his name was, and yet. But, man, that was a tough 2 weeks.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, she had been with you, did she go home when you went overseas with parents?
Yeah, she stayed with my folks and her folks when she wasn't with me.
Okay. All right. Couldn't have been an easy time for either of you.
Oh, no, it wasn't a bit easy. No, it sure wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, a couple things. When the war was over and you were coming home and you knew you were getting out, did you get out because of points you had earned?
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot how many, but I had enough points to get out. And they wanted me to stay. They offered to let me be a first sergeant, says I'd get more money when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, even 3 days was too many to stay out, ready to go.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if you ever thought of staying in.
Oh, no, sir. I was so anxious to get home, you can't believe.
Mm-hmm. What about being in the reserve? Was that no?
No way.
Okay.
I tried to get just as far away as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
Never made any noise. Oh, it is sure tough. It is hard to get along without a weapon, too. You know, you'd carry the weapon so long that
mm-hmm.
I had a little 25 caliber pistol. And I carried that in my pocket until I got to Dodge City.
Hmm.
I just couldn't stand putting it away. I just couldn't. I finally said, if I'm ever going to do without it, I got to do it now. I was on the train coming over there, and I put it in my bag way down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I come on home with it. I've still got it.
Hmm.
But I never went back to it. I never carried it. I wanted to so badly, you just taste it, but I never did.
Mm-hmm. And that's because you were just so trained, because you had done it for so long.
Yeah, just so long that it just felt naked without it.
Mm-hmm. Did you know when you were coming home what you were going to be doing?
I had no idea. I'd sent home some money, and I thought that we'd have a month or so to decide what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But I got home, my brother was just gone to the Army, a younger brother, and he was working for Security Elevator Company, and he said, "It's a pretty good job, why don't you try?" So I asked the lady that run it. She said, "Sure, I'd love to have you."
Mm-hmm.
So I went to work for a security elevator.
Here in Copeland?
Yeah, making $37 a week.
Oh my, compared to what?
Army pay, that was like a millionaire, I swear. Of course, we had everything to buy. And that's when the guys was really good to me. I went to Montezuma and I said, "I need a lot of furniture. I need it awful bad, but I don't have any money."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, where are you working then?" And I told him what I was going to do and everything. And he said, "Well, yeah, we can let you have a stove and a refrigerator and I don't remember what all." The three or four things that he let me have right off made it livable.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's coming into wintertime, so I had to have a heating stove too. And he gave me sold me a heating stove. And
mm-hmm.
It sure felt good. And when I was paying him off, I said, "How in the world can you do business like that? How can you collect everything?" "Oh," he said, "we don't have a bit of trouble collecting."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "We, most of your collecting is done when you sell it."
Oh.
Yeah, he said, "If you sell it to the right people," he said, "you have no problem."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had rented a home?
Yeah, we'd rented a place.
Okay.
And we was going to get to farm it, but somehow that deal fell through. I never figured out why, but it did.
How old were your children when you got home?
Let's see, I think Cheryl was 5 and David was 3 or something like that.
But they really didn't know you.
Uh-uh, they didn't know me. Mm-hmm. They'd been told so much about me that they thought they did. And
mm-hmm.
They come running out to the car. And they told them what I was going to be like, you know, I was wearing my uniform. And and they come running out to the car, and Sherry just jumped up, and of course she never did know a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And David run right up to me, and he turned and went the other way. He was sure surprised.
So it wasn't hard coming home, that aunt?
Getting home was all peaches and cream.
Okay. All right, okay, there are a couple questions that I'd like to go back to, and then I've kept you really long enough. Is there a particular fellow soldier or an officer who you have very good memory, very vivid memories that you have a memory of, and why would you remember a particular thing about them?
I don't know. Sergeant Beeler, him and I always worked together.
Okay.
And he was the best leader I ever seen for men. He just simply could handle men, but when it come down to the nitty gritty, he wasn't worth a hoot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He'd spend nearly all his time, and I'd have to take his place when he's gone, and I just didn't feel capable of
mm-hmm.
handling men as well as he did. But he was sure good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I never have heard from him since.
Did you keep in contact with anyone?
No.
No.
I did. Yeah, there's one guy, Stocking.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very religious man, and I wrote to him for quite a while, but he had real tough luck. I don't know how come. He come home, and his daughter was married, and they had a family, and she got a divorce, and so they helped take care of her kids. And then out of the clear blue sky, she died.
Hmm.
And so that left him and his wife to take care of the kids. And
mm-hmm.
they took care of them for about a year, and then his wife died. So he had them all by himself, and he took care of them, I guess, for probably a couple of years. And then he wrote to me once and said, "I'm not a bit well," and the next letter I got was from his kids, and they said he'd passed away.
Oh my.
So they'd all passed away but the kids.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Boy, that was sure tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have went to see him. And I had another guy I liked real well, as Boakman was his name, and he lived in Texas. tell you the name of the town in a minute, San Antone.
Okay.
And I don't know, I went down to San Antone one time with the express idea to look him up. It was another couple. And I said, I'm going to look up this old army buddy. And this guy said, if you do, I won't have anything more to do with you. Now, I don't know why that was or why he said it or nothing, but that's just the way he said it. And he gave me the feeling that he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about that a while, and I said, well, it just isn't worth it. I can come down to Amarillo later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Amarillo, to San Antone later.
That was strange.
Yeah, it was very unusual, you know, and that's the first time I had anything like that happen.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay, last question.
Okay.
How do you think that, that experience, and you had many years of experience, many more than a lot of people, did it change you? Did it make you aware of things when you look back at it? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's beneficial or not, but I kind of feel like it didn't hurt me any, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was able to take it mentally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't hurt me, and probably the experience is good for me.
Okay.
I just don't know for sure.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't like about it is World War I veterans, they weren't in near as long as we were.
Mm-hmm.
And they got all kinds of gifts, you know, from the government and stuff. And we didn't get squat. Yeah, I did too. Got about $400 from the government.
When you got out?
After we got out. After we'd been out, we went to a GI school.
Oh.
And Ensign.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some tools. Of course, we had to pay for the tools and everything. They managed to get them for us, which is hard to do then. Good tools is hard to buy. And every month you had to keep your books, you know. And if you had more than $100 income, well, they took that off of what you got from the government.
Hmm.
And about that time, we bought a well rig. My brother and I, and we went to drilling wells. And there wasn't a time that we could have drawn any money, so we just quit it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of fun always going to that school anyway.
And there were other GIs that were...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Around here, let's see, there was Harry Barrett, Joe Howard. And these guys are all dead.
Yeah. That's why what you're doing is so important.
Howard Steady, he's still living. And me, and who was, my brother Walt.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more. There were 6 of us. It was a carload.
Hmm.
I can't think of the other night now. But anyway, we sure enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring any souvenirs home?
Very few. When we got discharged, we were supposed to get discharged at Leavenworth, and they were so snowed under, they said, if you'll go to Camp Crowder in Missouri, you can get discharged sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it's going to be at least 3 days before we can get to you, and then it'll be 3 days of discharging you later. Oh man, that's too long. So we headed for Camp Crowder, and my wife and I and another friend of mine went to the Camp Crowder, and we were supposed to stay there that night, but we come back. My wife was in the hotel, and so we stayed back. I come back and stayed with her, and he come back and got a hotel room, and got up real early the next morning, and I run out to get the car. It was getting cold then. It was going to warm up the car, and I knew I'd parked it on the west side of that motel, but there was no car there, and I run all the way around that motel, and I couldn't find it any place. I come back, and this guy's name is Ryberg. And I said, Ryberg, our car must have been stolen. I cannot find it. He said, I gotta go back to camp. And I said, yeah, go ahead. I'll try to find what happened to it. So I called the police, and they wanted all the license numbers and everything on it. And pretty soon it had HAS written on the door. Mm-hmm. That was the guy that owned it before I did. And he said, "Well, we have your car, but it's wrecked." He said, "Our patrolman was seeing a car come down the street without the lights on." And he said he turned around to tell him to turn his lights on, and he said he took off, and so the patrolman took after him, and he's driving a Hudson that the hood opened from the rear, mm-hmm. and they hit one of these dips, and the hood flew up, so he said, "Well, for a minor thing like that, I'll just let him go." So he stopped to put the hood down, he heard a crash, and the guy tried to turn the corner and he ran into a tree. Didn't hurt it too bad, but did bang the front end of it up real bad. And mm-hmm. So he said, I said, "Where is it?" He said, "Well, it's in the shop right now." And I said, "Well, tell the guy to fix it up and I'll take care of it as soon as I get out. But just fix it so I can drive it home, because I've got a repairman at home." "Oh," he said, "all right." But he said, "You got to come see about it." And I said, "I've got to be discharged just this morning." And he said, "Do you want your car or don't you?" The chief of police. Oh, I hated him. Mm-hmm. He said, "Yeah." He said, "If you want to get the car, well, just come get it this morning." So I went down there and claimed my car and went to the police station. And he said, "I don't know what all you had in there, but," he said, "there's, that guy must have taken it all out." Well, they said they'd have caught him without lights on. Mm-hmm. And they took everything out of that car and put it in a room, a small room in a police station. And everybody went through it like a, then cigarettes was a thing,
yeah,
to be treasured. I had three cartons of cigarettes in there and there wasn't a cigarette left.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my valuables that amounted to anything was in that car. And it's all gone. All my Class A uniform, everything you could think of was gone.
You wouldn't think people could stoop that low.
Not the police station, no, yeah. You wouldn't, no. Mm-hmm. So I said, "I want to see the guy who stole my car." "He said, you can't see him." I said, "Why can't I?" And he said, I said, "I'd like to see if I can get some money out of him."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "No way. If he's got a dime, we're going to get it. You aren't."
Hmm.
So I left right there.
Yeah. That was a bad experience.
Yeah. I got back at noon, and that was the worst trouble I was ever in the Army. Oh, they did give me hell. Started with a little office manager, and then the office crew got in and got me all eat out. Then the captain finally come in and he ate me out some more. And they didn't know that I'd left camp. All they knew is that my car was stolen and I went to check on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did. Said, "Well, there's no way for you to get a discharge now, but you'll have to wait 3 days." Or he said, "If you can find somebody to catch you up, why, you can go on them." You know what, I missed a half a day. And I said, "Well, I'll sure look for somebody." So I hunted around there. Of course, I didn't know anybody. It was all new to me. And most of them never had any combat experience at all. They had no idea what was going on. And so finally I hit a sergeant. And I was all downhearted. And he said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "I can't get a discharge. I'm going to have to wait 3 days. And he said, "How much have you missed?" And I said, "Just this morning." "Why, hell," he said, "I can get you out if you just sign these papers to say that you don't have any medical problem whatsoever, and so on, so on, so on." He said, "I can catch you up, and you can just go right on." So I did.
Good.
And got a discharge.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I wished a lot of times that I'd had that.
Yeah.
I had teeth trouble. I finally lost half of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But is there anything else that you think that you remember that you want to say?
No, I don't think so. I think that's all. I can't think of anything else. I gave you kind of the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
One time I started telling my nephew, we worked together for years on the well rig, and I told him a few of the combat stories, you know, I had, but thank goodness that thing wasn't working.
You don't realize how interesting your experience is.
Oh, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But it makes me nervous to talk about it. It still makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. For a long time, I wouldn't talk about it at all. Mm-hmm.
Just because it brought up so many memories?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think of how you felt at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.